Okay, today's learning is sponsored by the Hershkovitz family, Leo Nishmas, Moshe Ben Yehuda Leib, and by the Weider family, Refuah Shlema for Daniela, Tzipora Bas Dina, and by the Lerner family, Leo Nishmas, Rachel's father, and you guys write, Pragi Ben Reba. Okay, French names I'm not so familiar with. Okay, Neshama Shavon Leo. Okay, so, I guess the topic's a little bit outdated, because Baruch Hashem is a ceasefire, but who knows how long that ceasefire will last for. So, for now, at least we'll prepare for what will be Mirtzah Hashem. Hopefully, it's no more wars, but it seems inevitable. So, when Eretz Yisrael is under attack, let's talk a little bit about halachas of the warfare. And there are many, many halachas related to this. And we have to address what's called the Mechemes Mitzvah versus the Mechemes Rishus, how to define different categories, defending a country, conquering land, expanding one's borders, fighting Amalek, how does that weigh in? So, different types of combat. And who has the right to declare war? Is that the role of the king? Is that the role of the Sanhedrin? Does Israeli government, do they serve that role? And the people, what role we have as soldiers? Do we have to fight in such wars? So there's a lot to talk about. So let's go through the sugya, and hopefully by us learning it, it will be a key of continued peace. So let's look at number one. The Gemara tells us at the end of one of the parakim in Masechta Sota, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, there's a halacha of what's called the chozer me'orchei melchama, people who are allowed to go back. People get scared, the psukim talk about, they're allowed to go back home. If they got married during Shana Rishona, or they had a new house, or the new vineyard, a whole list of people who could go back, they have an aveira, they're allowed to be chozer le'melchama. So the Mishnah comments, number one, b'med devar mamurim, when is it true that they're allowed to be chozer melchama? It's only b'melchemes rishus, some type of voluntary melchama, which we have to define still. Aval milchemes mitzvah, when it comes to a mitzvah, a war that we have to fight, that there's a mitzvah involved, mitzvah, hakol, yotin, everybody needs to go out and fight, soldiers, citizens, afilu chasin mechedru v'kal mechubasa, imagine a chasin kala underneath a chuppah, and there's a war that breaks out, it's a milchemes mitzvah, they have to leave their weddings to go fight. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bamed Dvar Murim, he says, no. When is it true that you're allowed to go back mechama? Milchemes mitzvah. When you're fighting milchemes mitzvah, then the people could be chozer back to their houses. Aval milchemes chova. Mechama, that's an obligation, that's obligatory. Hakol yotzin, everybody goes out. Afil chosin michedu v'kala michupasa. Chosin kala underneath their chuppah, they have to leave their own chasana to go fight. So they both have such a distinction. Chachamim call it Mechemes Rishus versus Mechemes Mitzvah. And Rabbi Yehuda calls it Mechemes Mitzvah versus Mechemes Chovah. So what are these categories that we're describing here? Excellent. So the Gemara is going to use that. Very good. The Gemara is going to use that. That's going to be the Nafkamina. We'll see in just a moment. Excellent. So what are these terms? And what is the Machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? So we look at number two. It's a little bit of a confusing line, but I think we'll all come together. Bamed v'amurim, says the Gemara, milchemes rishus, amar Yochanan, rishus di rabbanon, which means milchemes rishus of the rabbanon, the Tanakama, it's the same exact category of mitzvah, milchemes mitzvah de Yehuda. Those are the same exact terms. Just bear with me till we get to the punchline. And the milchemes mitzvah of rabbanon is the same exact category of the chova de Yehuda. Okay, so you can figure that out, but it's a little easier just to look at the punchline here. Amar Rava, Rava says, Mechemes Yeshua Lichbosh, the Mechama of Yeshua ben Nun, who came into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the lands, to knock out and send away all the different Shiva al-Amimim, the seven nations. Divrei HaKol Chov. Everybody's in agreement, that's an obligatory Mechama, that's a Chiv, you're not allowed to be Chos Mechama. You must go fight such a war. In contrast to that, Mechamos Beis David L'Ravcha, David spent a lot of time expanding his borders, taking over more property, more land. That's l'ravcha, that's to expand properties. Divrei HaKol Rishus. That, everybody agrees, the Rishus. Which means, if you have a reason to go back, you can go back. Mechemes Chova, you must fight. Afilu chasin b'chadir kal mechupaso. But Mechemes Rishus, which is just David wanting to expand his borders, that's Rishus. Those who need to go back are allowed to go back. So what's the machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda? Kipligi, when do they argue? They argue about when you want to, this is a little unclear, we'll see in the Rambam in just a moment, when you want to fight against the Goyim, that they shouldn't come upon you, they shouldn't attack you, a preemptive strike. Let's say you see your enemies building up missiles and rockets and building tunnels. So you don't want to wait for them to attack you. You want to preempt their attack. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Delo leisu alayu, that the goyim should not come upon you. You can have a preemptive strike. So how do you categorize such a preemptive strike? That's the machlokus. The Gemara explains. Mar karile mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's called a mitzvah. A preemptive strike is also called a mitzvah. However, mar karile rishus, Rabban hold, this is only rishus. It's only a rishus to do this. It's not an obligation. It's not a mitzvah. It's a very good defensive move. But it's a rishus. And those who want to be chozer can be chozer. So my nafkamina, the doctor just said, what's a nafkamina? La'osek b'mitzvah patir min mitzvah. Let's say you're involved in the mitzvah, the chemes mitzvah. You're going out to do this preemptive strike. If you hold it's a mitzvah, you're patir from davening, you're patir from tefillin, you're patir from many, many mitzvahs. Maybe next week we'll learn about the certain halachas you're actually allowed to violate isurim when involved in milchama. Certain types of treif, you're allowed to eat certain treif when you're in milchama. The Rasha Weiss, I think he's the official posting maybe for the Shin Bet maybe, and he gets fascinating shilas of spies, Jewish Israeli spies in Iran, various countries, of what do you do about blowing shofar? What do you do about tefillah? What do you do without blowing your cover? So there's certain things that missing a mitzvah is one thing, but violating Yisurim, how do you get kosher food in Iran or wherever these people are? So maybe next week we'll discuss that, but what comes out from this is if you call this preemptive strike a mechames mitzvah, then you're patur from doing other mitzvahs. But if it's only a rishus, then it won't stand in the way. You will still have to perform the other mitzvah. So that's the machlokas. We have three categories mentioned in the Gemara. Number one is the conquering of Eretz Yisrael proper, whatever the borders are. That's a mechames chova. There's expanding the borders beyond what the psukim tell us. That's a mechames rishus. And then there's a preemptive strike, which is a machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. So if you look at the Rambam, number 3, number 4, he quotes this distinction. At the end of number 3, just read the underline. He says, who's able to be chozer mechama? Who could go back? Bamed v'ramurim shemachzirin anashim elu mechor mechama. That's b'mechemes rishus. Avab mechemes mitzvah. Ha'kol yotzin v'afilu chas mechedro v'kal mechupasa. So he said, there you have it. If it's a mechemes mitzvah, the chas and kal have to go out and fight. So we have to define. What is mechemes mitzvah? Was mechames rishus. So you already saw the Gemara that told us these different categories, but the Rambam expands the categories. The Rambam writes in number 4, Hilchas Melachim Perkei Halach Aleph. Ein ha-melech nilcham tchila el mechames mitzvah. A king is only allowed to declare war if it's a mechames mitzvah. Ve'ezehi mechames mitzvah. What's called a mechames mitzvah? So first thing the Rambam lists is mechames shiva amamim, which is the essence of mechames Yeshua. Conquering Eretz Yisrael, kicking out the nations from Eretz Yisrael, that's called the Mechemes Mitzvah. That's Mechemes Yeshua. Then the Rambam adds something else, which we'll get to at the end. Mechemes Amalek, that too is a Mechemes Mitzvah. And Ve'ezras Yisrael Miyad Tsar Shebalim. And to save Klai Yisrael from a tsar, from an enemy that's attacking them. So what does it mean an enemy that's attacking them? What's that new category the Rambam just expanded it to? So we'll get to that in just a second as well. And in contrast to that, v'charkach nilcham b'mechemes rishus. And then after doing all the mechemes mitzvah, there's something called mechemes rishus. What's a mechemes rishus? He writes, k'dei laharchiv gvul Yisrael v'harbis b'gdulasa v'sham. To expand the borders there to Yisrael, to show the greatness of the king, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a mechemes rishus. So let's focus on a moment the expansion of the Rambam's definition of what's called mechemes mitzvah. So we know kicking out the nations of Eretz Yisrael, Mechemes Yeshua, that's a mitzvah. We'll get back to Amalek in just a second. What does it mean, Ezras Yisrael Miyad Tsar Shebalem? That you could save a Yisrael, Ben Yisrael, you could save a Jew who's being attacked by others. What does that mean? So the Sherei Karban, number 5, asks a question. I don't understand. That what the Rambam is telling me, that there's a mitzvah to go protect a Jew? I need to know that. There's a mechama, and that's a mitzvah. Isn't there a mitzvah we already have? Lo Samo Adam Re'echa? Don't stand. If you see a Jew being attacked, you have to save them. Vashevosa lo, return him back. Zravedef nefesh. If you see a Jewish soul being attacked, endangered, you have a mitzvah to go save them. So what's the Rambam adding here? Oh, there's a mechamez mitzvah to save a Jew that's being attacked by another tzar. That's a pashadin. That's not a mechama. That's based on another lach of saving another Jew. So what the Shira Karban says, the Rambam is referring here to a preemptive strike. He says, when the Gemara says, delolesi alayu, and the obdicham delolesi alayu, that they should not come upon you, the goyim, That's the Rambam means to save Yisrael from a potential attack from the oivim, from the enemies. A preemptive strike is also considered a mechemes mitzvah. And therefore, remember, that was the machlokas between the Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanim. How do you categorize a preemptive strike? Rabbanim said it's only a reshus. Rabbi Huda says that was a mitzvah. So the Rambam, by including Ezra Yisrael, Miyad Sar Shebalim, as a mechemes mitzvah, he clearly paskins like Rabbi Huda, that it is a mitzvah to be involved in a preemptive strike. That's the understanding. So we have discussed three categories right now. Conquering the actual land, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, expanding the land, and then a preemptive strike. There's one more type that, before we get to Amalek, which is number six. This perhaps seems an obvious point here, but we're going to say it anyways. The Chazon Ish felt the need to say it. Im bo lilachem im Yisrael, they attack us. If we need to defend ourselves as a nation, as a country, l'chuli alma, Chashiva Mechemes Chova Ve'ein Bazeh Din HaChozen. That certainly is a Mechemes Chova, Mechemes Mitzvah, and there's no Heter of Chozen. Everybody needs to defend the country. So when it comes to conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to defending the land of Eretz Yisrael, those are all Mechemes Mitzvah. Everybody must participate in it. When it comes to preemptive strikes, the Rambam paskins, that also is a Mechemes Mitzvah. Everybody must participate. When it comes to expanding the borders, but getting more land, north, south, east, wherever they're getting more land, that is only a mechemes reshus, and you have the right to be chozer, whoever falls in those categories. So now, who has the right to declare war? Whose right is that? So in America, it's the president. He's the commander-in-chief. He has the right to declare war. So who declares war according to Allah? Who has that right? So the Rambam writes, based on the mission, the very first mission, Maseches Sanhedrin. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim Perkei, Halacha Beis, Mechemes Mitzvah, Eino Tzarech Li Toba, Rishus Bezdin. When it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, which is the categories we mentioned, conquering Eretz Yisrael, defending Eretz Yisrael, preemptive strikes, you do not need to consult with Bezdin, Eloyote Me'atzmo Becholes. The king is able to lead the army whenever he feels necessary, if it's a Mechemes Mitzvah. The kofa am lotes, and he's able to force them. He's able to draft them. All the soldiers afilu chasan me chedrov akala mechupasa. The king has the right to declare mechemes mitzvah. Aval mechemes harishus, when it comes to a voluntary mechama, they want to expand the borders. That eino motzi haamba elapi bezdin shel shivim echad. You have to consult with bezdin. You have to consult with the Sanhedrin to laharvacha, to expand the borders. Now, why would you consult with Bezdin? What would the reason be? So you all tell me, very simply. Permission. You have to consult. You have to make decisions. Now, before the president makes a decision to fight, he consults with the Pentagon, I imagine, and all the other... They might have the right to veto. Again, I get a little complicated. I'm not sure exactly. But the president, the commander-in-chief, to my knowledge, he has the right to declare it. It could be people have the checks and balances. But before declaring war, he will certainly consult with the Pentagon. Okay. So maybe Congress is, so someone, whoever's doing it in America, but they consult with people who know. So the Sanhedrin are the ones that they consult, the ones with the knowledge, with the wisdom, the Ruach HaKodesh. So they have to be consulted before expanding the borders. So that's what Rashi writes in number 8, very simply. Gemar Sanhedrin daf tezayin. V'nimlachin b'Sanhedrin. And the king will consult with the Sanhedrin. No lin rishus mayam, to ask permission. He's not allowed to. There's checks and balances as well when it came to the Jewish government. So that's what it means to ask permission. But the fascinating Rashi Maseches Brachos, which says otherwise. So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Gimel and Beis tells us that David HaMelech had quite a busy day. David HaMelech was very immersed in learning, and it didn't seem that, at least the presentation, he was so involved in, you know, in the government, in the Malchus, and the fighting. So look what the Gemara tells us. Miyad, after David HaMelech pretty much stayed up all night and he davened, he woke up at Chatzos. When he woke up, he learned all morning until Amun HaShachar. All the various Chachamim came to David HaMelech. They said to him, Adonenu HaMelech, our master, the king, Amcha Yisrael tzvichin parnasa. They need parnasa. Apparently they weren't being fed. The economy wasn't so great. So he tells the Chachamim, L'chu, go out, this parnasu zemizeh, just to help parnasa, whatever that means, help them trade, barter, or just help them with parnasa. So David HaMelech didn't get his hands dirty with that. Amr Lal, they said, we can't, Eina komet masabiya ta'ari. You can't, what you grab in your hand can't feed the lion. The lion's so great, the nation's so great, and what we have coming from Eretz Yisrael is not enough to support, to feed the families here. Veina bor, mismale mechol yasa, which means when you dig up a bore, a pit, and you want to put the dirt back in, the dirt never fits back in perfectly. There's always going to be some space. It just doesn't, and that's not filling them up. We need more than what we have here. So what's the next option? So Amr Lahem, David says, L'chu, go. Go have the battalions, go send out the soldiers, go conquer some more land, get some more fields and more property, more food, and this way we'll get more. Miad immediately, Yoatzin Bachitofel, Venimlachim Besanhedrin, he'd get advice from Achitofel, he'd consult with Sanhedrin, Visholim Bur Matumim about the army, about the fighting. Why is he consult with Sanhedrin? Says Rashi, Nimlachim Besanhedrin, Nolin Mehem Rishus, Kidei Shispalalu Alehem. So here, while in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Rashi focused on just the ability to ask permission, to sign off on the decision to attack, the decision to expand the borders, Rashi emphasized the point to daven for them. It's not enough to simply fight. We know that when Yaakov Avinu was preparing to meet Esav, one of the things he did was he prepared for battle, but he also prepared for war, for davening. You have to daven as well, and that's the role Sanhedrin plays, to daven on behalf of those fighting. Yeah.
The Torah says he's
Yeah, the way the Rambam said before, he added the line, we spoke about adding to the borders, that kidei laharchiv gvul Yisrael v'laharbos b'gdulaso v'shimo. So it sounds like from the Rambam, we need more space. We ran out of space. There's better, fields over there, oil fields, trees, whatnot. And also to expand the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more we're able to expand in such a way. Now, it's hard for us to imagine that because we're not in a position, we would never do such a thing. We live in a time where countries don't attack other countries in that way of taking over other countries. But there was a time in history where, borders changed oftentimes. Now things seem pretty set. There's always things with Russia going on and the Ukraine. That's about all and I guess Germany had the time, a number of years ago, the split. That's all to my knowledge. But we don't live in a time where that happens often. But if one were to live in such a time, the reason would be because we need more land, we have no space, and to expand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Yeah, security also that. Right? The Rambam doesn't mention the security reason, but that could be a reason why a country would want that. A strategic post, a strategic, water, mountains or whatnot. They could all be a strategy as well.
If you're doing that, let's say, to avoid attack, a preemptive
right.
Can you shift that into Lachamas Mitzvah from a...
Interesting.
Because now, the reason is because...
Right. Right. It's a good question. I don't know. This would be the... Expanding of borders to create the buffer as a preemptive defense mechanism. Good question. Looking back at the Rambam, I could see that being. I could see that people explain that way. I don't know for sure. What? Yeah. To create that buffer, is that going to be considered Mechametz Mitzvah or not? That's a very good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, you have to figure out what exactly. I don't know what the original borders are. That's another question. Where are the borders? Yeah. So, but that might, Avar Yarden, I don't know if that's considered the actual ones or Menashe, I don't know how far back we go. But, that's another question. Where are the borders of Eretz Yisrael? It could be a very technical shiur. I don't know if I want to give that one, but that is an important question. Now, number 11. So, although when it comes to Mechametz Mitzvah, the king has the full rights to decide and to declare war for Mechametz Mitzvah. Mechametz Rishus, that's up to Sanhedrin, as we just saw. But there is a discussion whether it's a combination of Sanhedrin and also the Melech. Let's say, for example, the Pentagon. But the Pentagon have the right to declare war on their own. So it would be strange for us to say that. They can't do that. So the Machlokas here, whether Sanhedrin, when we say Sanhedrin is consulted from Mechametz Rishus, is that by themselves they declare or in combination with the king? The king decides Mechametz Mitzvah by himself. But Mechametz Rishus is the Melech plus a Sanhedrin or just a Sanhedrin? So the Tosfos Yantif quotes that this seems to be a machlokas, because the second parak of Sanhedrin, the first parak of Sanhedrin talks about dinim of Sanhedrin, of the Bezdin, the different types of batei dinim. The second parak of Sanhedrin talks about the halachas of a king. There are various mitzvahs and halachas that apply to a king. He has a special sefer Torah he'd walk around with, whether appointing a king is a mitzvah, whether it was a bad thing to have a king, all the halachas that pertain to a king. You can't marry the king's amana, You can't ride on the king's horse. You can't use his scepter. All the halachos are in the second parak. But strangely, in that second parak of the Sanhedrin, it mentions the Mechemes Rishus goes out on Beis Din Sanhedrin's decision. But doesn't mention the king. So some say, by virtue of the fact that that halach is found in the second parak of Sanhedrin, which is the parak of kings, it means we consult Sanhedrin. It was, of course, talking about the king, the Sanhedrin plus the melech. So look what the Tosfos Yontif writes in number 11. He says, he quotes from the Mishnah, Motzi Melchemes Rishus Al Pi Beis Din Shel Shivim V'Echad. Mashma the Beis Din Shel Shivim V'Echad Levadam Ein Lem Koach Lasos Chayil Lo Tziyam LeMelchemes Rishus El B'Maimer HaMelech. The Tosfos Yontif points out, although it says that the Sanhedrin makes a decision, it's only with the decision also consulting with the king. Because the Amris Ein Melech B'Seshim Mal, if you'd say the king has no involvement in the Melchemes Rishus, Im Kein Lamai Tanina Lahacha Gavei Malo Shemelech, why do we list in the Melchemes Rishus in the second parak of Sanhedrin, which is the parak of a Melech? So it must be, therefore, that Sanhedrin plus the Melech decide to declare war by Melchemes Rishus. But he learns from the Rambam seems to not say that way. Rambam only talks about the decision-making from the Sanhedrin, and there's no involvement from the king. Okay, so that's who decides, who declares war. Let's move on now to one final piece before we talk about Zman HaZeh. Melchemes Amalek. That's a different discussion. What does it mean, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? That's a whole other topic. So, we discussed Melchemes Mitzvah is conquering Eretz Yisrael proper, kicking out the seven nations of the world, seven nations of Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and preemptive strike, we said, is also mitzvah. And the Rambam added in Melchemes Amalek as well. He added Melchemes Amalek. The Gemara Sanhedrin does not mention Melchemes Amalek as an example. Just read that again. If you look at number 12, Ein HaMelech Nilcham Techila Ela Melchemes Mitzvah Ve'ezehi Melchemes Mitzvah Zu Melchemes Shiva Amimim U'Melchemes Amalek Ve'ezer Sisal Miad Sar Shebalim. He talked about Melchemes Amalek. Now, just for a moment, talking practically, you know, in terms of, let's say, Gaza, for example, is that a Melchemes Mitzvah? So it seems to be in the borders of Eretz Israel, right? It seems to be, you know, are they one of the Shiva Amimim? So unclear exactly. The Gemara talks about how throughout the world became a melting pot. No one really knows where they come from, where their original sources or their origin is from. So unclear exactly. But seemingly, if it's about the Shiva Amimim, so maybe the Palestinians are considered the Shiva Amimim, maybe they're not. But certainly the land itself, that's considered Eretz Israel. So it would seem to be a Melchemes Mitzvah. But what about Melchemes Amalek? So Melchemes Amalek, the Rambam says, is clearly a Melchemes Mitzvah. But there's a Rashi in the very, very beginning of Sanhedrin, in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. When the Mishnah tells us that Sanhedrin decides when to go to Melchemes Rishus, the Rashi says, what's a Melchemes Rishus? He says, Kol Melchama Kari Rishus Levad Mi Melchemes Yoshua. Every single war is called Rishus, with one exception, only Melchemes Yeshua, which is lichvosh es Eretz Yisrael, to conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. That's the only Melchemes Mitzvah that we have out there. But a Melchama, like Melchemes Amalek, and a preemptive strike, all of those types, that's a Melchemes Rishus. So what about Amalek? The Aruch Lener asks the question, why didn't the Rashi mention Melchemes Amalek as a Melchemes Mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek? It's a mitzvah deraisa, Mechias Amalek. How come Rashi doesn't say, Levad mi Melchemes Yeshua, and also Melchemes Amalek? It certainly is a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. So what happened? So there are a few answers that are brought down by the Achronim. One answer given by the Aruch Haner, the Margolis Hayam. Margolis Hayam is one of the Achronim. He was a librarian, I believe, and he has an incredible sefer. He just quotes from all over, all types of Svarim. It's a great sefer on Sanhedrin, it's a masterpiece. And So he writes, and the Aruch Haner writes, that one reason why Rashi left out Melchemes Amalek from the list here is because you don't need to consult Beis Din. You don't need to consult Beis Din. There's a mitzvah, deraisa, to wipe out Amalek. And therefore, since a mitzvah exists, there's nothing to consult. If you see Amalek, you kill them. Now, lemaisa, what we need to do is, we're not going to do this, it's a different story, but in terms of the mitzvah itself, you don't need to consult Beis Din. That's what makes it unique. As opposed to Melchemes Mitzvah to fight with Yeshua. Yeshua had to consult. He is the king, had to decide, and but when it comes to Amalek, no one needs to be consulted. You have to attack Amalek because that is a mitzvah, deraisa, a mechias Amalek. Now, you don't have in front of you the rest. I'll tell you the rest, what's going on, others' answers. of why Rashi leaves out Melchemes Amalek. Yeah.
I think Amalek is a very generic term. Who do we consider Amalek?
Yeah. So this is a different discussion, but it's we don't know who Amalek is for a couple of reasons. One is that it's the Gemara explains that the world has become a melting pot. And like I mentioned before, you have no idea who came from Amalek, who didn't come from Amalek, and therefore we don't need no way for us to tell. That's number one. Number two is some say that it's not really a nation, it's more of an ideology, in which case anybody who is against us, anyone who wants to wipe us out, which could be, you know, Iran, Palestinians, whoever on that scope of nations who hate us. So that's why it may not be a particular nation.
So isn't that all inclusive in all the nations that we mentioned?
It could be. But you have the nations, not every nation who you fight with necessarily wants to, you know, wipe out the Jews, per se. They want to defeat them, they want to have independence, you know, but it could be throughout the world, the Crusades and whatnot, the Muslims throughout wanted to wipe us out, that might be considered Amalek. The Nazis and whatnot, others say, no, it's a real nation, and unless you come from that particular nation, so you can't wipe them out. But whoever is Amalek, if you can identify them, you don't need to consult with a Melech, you don't need to consult with a Sanhedrin, because there's a mitzvah ready from the Torah to wipe out Amalek. That's one pshat. Another pshat, the Margolis Yam explains, is as follows. He says that when it says in Rashi that Melchemes Yeshua is the only Melchemes Mitzvah, he says that includes Melchemes Amalek. Who was the first person, the first general, to attack, to lead an army, to lead a war against Amalek? It was Yeshua ben Nun, Pasuk tells us. We have Amalek, and it explains in the Pasuk, Vayachlish Yeshua as Amalek, he weakened them. There's Amalek Ficharev. So every time we're trying to continue that war in Amalek, it's continuing the initial battle of Yeshua ben Nun. That was the fight. Yeshua ben Nun fought them in the Midbar, and it continued. So each time we're going to fight them, that's called Melchemes Yeshua. And he brings a nice riot from the Ritva in Megillah. We know there's Allah when it comes to the Megillah, that there's unwalled cities, and there are walled cities. Unwalled cities read on the 14th of Adar. The walled cities read on the 15th of Adar. Walled cities from the times of when? So one opinion says from the times of Shushan, because that's when the mitzvah took place. The nes took place in the Shushan. But there's another opinion, which is how we assume, from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Why? Yeshua ben Nun, that's the reason why, because Yeshua ben Nun has nothing to do with Megillas Esther, nothing to do with Shushan and Mordechai and Purim. So Gemara says, because it's wanting to show Kavod to Eretz Yisrael, Kavod to Yushalayim. But the Ritva says, you know why? Because Haman, as we know, came from Amalek, and that was the battle against Amalek that Yeshua led. So, therefore, since we're continuing to fight the Yeshua's battle, we attribute the walled cities to Yeshua ben Nun, because this is his Melchama. So when Rashi says that the only Melchama out there is Melchemes Yeshua, and that also includes Melchamas Amalek, which is an extension of the fight, the battle of Yeshua. And two more answers of, again, what Rashi meant to why he left out Amalek is as follows. One shot is, we don't even call Amalek a Muhammad. That's not called a war. A war is like what we saw last week. A war is you're fighting against the nations in Eretz Yisrael, kicking them out. You want to expand your borders, preemptive strikes. When it comes to Amalek, it's not called a war. Why not? It doesn't say what it is called, but it's not called a war because there's a halacha that doesn't apply, that applies to every other Muhammad that does not apply to Amalek. We didn't talk about this yet, but before attacking, you always have to precede the attack with asking for shalom. Do you want to make a treaty? You want to make peace? I'd rather not fight. Can we get along? Let's just have our separate ways and keep our borders properly. By Amalek, we don't offer them the white flag. We don't say, let's make a peace treaty. And since there's no peace treaty, we don't offer them, it's not called the classical Muhammad, so it just wasn't on the radar. Rashi wasn't referring to it because it's not a Muhammad. It's a mitzvah of just wiping them out. And the fourth explanation, then we'll get back to Halach Lamaisa, is that it's similar to the previous one, that it did already have the permission of a Beis Din. When Moshe Rabbeinu had declared war on Amalek in the Midbar, Beis Din Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, that war, that battle would never complete, we're continuing to fight the battle from the Beis Din of Moshe. Before we called it the Mechama of Yeshua, now we're calling it a Mechama under the guidance of the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. Somehow it's a continuation of what was, and therefore you don't need to consult with a current Beis Din, a current Sanhedrin. So there are a few different answers to what Rashi means by leaving out Melchemes Amalek. Either way, we see that there are various categories of Melchemes Rishus versus that of a Melchemes Mitzvah. And just to recap, the nafkaminas of Melchemes Mitzvah First, Mechamas Rishus is number one is there halacha of chozer b'mechama? Those who can be chozer b'mechama is only true during Mechamas Rishus, but Mechamas Chova, Mechamas Mitzvah, everybody must go out to fight. And the second afkamina we saw was who declares war? Mechamas Mitzvah is declared by the king. Mechamas Rishus is declared by the Sanhedrin, and maybe in combination, in tandem with the king. So, Lemaisa, what happens in Bezman Hazeh? Bezman Hazeh, is there such a concept of Mechamas Mitzvah, such a concept of Mechamas Rishus? So, certainly there's no Sanhedrin, Bezman Hazeh. And the Miri writes in Sanhedrin, it's not in front of you, that there's no Dinin of Fashos anymore, there's no Dinin of Sanhedrin anymore, because there's no Sanhedrin, and therefore, Mechamas Rishus, you cannot wage Mechamas Rishus. Halachically, Eretz Yisrael cannot expand the borders. It cannot expand the borders. That's a Mechamas Rishus. That's not allowed. But what about a Mechamas Mitzvah? Would that be allowed? So we have no king. There's no king. There's no melech. Prime minister, if it's fine, what a king is. But seemingly he's not a king. A melech, by the Rambam's definition, is one who has the right to kill whoever he wants whenever there's a need. Prime minister has no right to just kill anybody he wants, even if there's a good reason. There's a process that has to go through. But the Miri writes something. He explains that Mikol Makom, even though he says that by Sanhedrin there's no Sanhedrin, Bezman Hazeh, Mikol Makom, in contrast to that, Dinei Malchus, Kayamim Becholzman, he thinks all the halachas of Malchus apply forever, for generations to come. Af Bechol Dor V'Dor Yesh Rishus Leman Higei Ador, there's the permission, the license of all the various leaders of the generations. V'Gedolei HaRatzos, those who govern lands, La'anosh Ulaharog derech harasha al hadrachim shibarnu. The king has the right to kill. So although it might not be an official king, there's always someone who's in charge of the land who's allowed to kill if they needed to kill someone for whatever reason. As it says in the pasuk, vel hashofet asher ye bayomim ahem. The one who's in your days, meaning that shofet is subject to change over time. So the Miri says you can, in theory, have a melech bezman hazeh, even though there's no beis hamikdash. But one of the criteria, as I mentioned before, is only that king, that prime minister, has the right to actually kill someone if he needed a harasha. The prime minister does not have that right, to my understanding. I don't think he has a right to kill someone if he feels there's a need. Someone, overstepped his boundaries, that the prime minister cannot kill anybody. And therefore, there is no official king, Bezman Hazeh, even for the Miri standards. And if there's no king, there's no Mechamas Mitzvah for these standards. And therefore, there's no halacha of chozer b'mechama. There's no halacha of forcing anybody to go out. There's no halacha of osim b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. All those are really, unfortunately, obsolete. But even though that's the case, and this really has no bearing halacha l'maisa, there are other halachas which maybe we'll discuss next week about what a person can do if he's in battle. Even though that battle might not be officially a mechamas mitzvah and may not be considered mechamas rishus, there still is pikuach nefesh that's involved. And what halachas can he, go against? To protect himself, to protect his friends, the whole battalion, to protect the country, to protect the Jews. Maybe we'll discuss that in Mirat Hashem next week.